Blog Talk Radio.
Aaron Rodgers, the latest drama. Will he win his fourth MVP award? Well, we know one of the 50 votes he won't be getting. Longtime sports writer in Chicago.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and of course, the New Africa Business Association and Black Belt Wall Street are basically the same. So welcome to the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, and Black Wall Street. Tonight, we're going to be talking about just that, the Black Belt Wall Street, the Greenwood District, and Black Wall Street. How did they all come together? And we're going to have some very special guests coming on with us this evening to be informative and to promote Black Belt Wall Street 100 years ago and Black Belt Wall Street and its attempt to come back today. So again, giving our listeners a chance to come on, we're going to again say Happy New Year to everybody. And again, my self, and again, let me bring on my co-host in just a moment. Again, I am Bilal, and I think we have my co-host on. Bilal, Aziz, are you with us?
Yes, greetings, and assalamu alaikum, and Happy New Year to you and all our listeners, Brother Bilal. Glad to be on, back in the broadcasting again.
Yes, a brand new year. I tell you, after taking about 3 weeks off, you come back a little rusty. But again, like I said, welcome to all our listeners. Let's just share this information. For those of you who wish to participate in tonight's show, our call-in number is 657-383-1372, 657-383-1372. And I see where our callers are coming on, but in the meantime, I am going to go ahead and bring on a couple of our special guests, and the first one is Sister Karen Reed, and Karen Reed is doing a film on the new Black Wall Street. And that film is being put together as we speak, but I'm going to let Karen tell you more about it in just a moment when we bring her on. And also, of course, we have one of our very own members, Black Belt Wall Street, the one who brought Black Belt Wall Street to my attention, and that's Brother Samuel Harris. And, of course, he's a real estate and investment banker, and he's going to be bringing us some very good information on what we mean when we say that we are restoring and bringing back Black Wall Street and how you as a business person can be financed and starting businesses in your own communities, because, like I said, we're very serious about network marketing and joint investments and bringing businesses back into the African-American communities. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on first and give the greetings to Sister Karen Reed. Ms. Reed, are you with us? Ms. Reed, are you with us? Okay, Ms. Reed is not with us at the moment. Hopefully she will be coming on and giving us the greetings as soon as possible. Let's go to one of our own directors, and that is Brother Samuel Harris. Brother Harris, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Happy New Year, Brother Bynum, Brother Aziz, and Sister Reed.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. And I'm glad to be on and get back with our community so we can get back to the hard work that we have to get accomplished in 2022.
Right, right. Well, in that case, you're absolutely right. And like I said, happy new year to everybody. And I am going to just, make some general comments. And as you know, you heard Malcolm X, you heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you heard just about anyone, even when it comes to the, how Reconstruction was started. And of course, during the time of Black Wall Street or the Greenwood District before it became Black Wall Street, they had their own banks. And these banks became a national banks, especially once Booker T. Washington became a member and bought on the Black Belt Wall Street. And Brother Harris will be able to tell us in just a few moments how that enriched many states in the South. And it had a large part to do with the Reconstruction. And that was when we was able to pay off the debts, and that was the sharecroppers' debts that kept Black folks under the really under slavery. That was no more than a sharecropping, because the laws of sharecropping mean that you had to you couldn't do anything until you paid off your debts. So that's where our banks and other financial institutions that was created from the Greenwood District, and again, that at some point became Black Wall Street. And I am going to now bring on, with that said, I am going to bring on an expert who can inform us even better. And again, before I do that, I'm asked, Miss Karen Reed, are you with us yet?
Hello.
Miss Reed, there you are. Good evening. Good evening. And everyone is sending you the greetings. Brother Harris, we have Miss Reed. Brother Aziz, we do have Miss Reed.
Yes. Hello, so, guys. Reed. Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes.
And Miss Reed, and before we get started, we're going to let you open up this program. And any comments that you want to make about Black Wall Street, and especially about the film, the documents that you're getting ready to make. I'm going to just turn it over to you, Ms. Reed.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys allowing me to be on your platform this morning, this evening, to share what I have been appointed to do. My name is Karen Reese. I live in DeSoto, Texas. I'm married. I have four kids, two grandkids. I've been married for 28 years. I just recently got laid off my job on last year, January, after 31 years working in corporate America. And I did taxes on the side. So right now I am opening up my tax office and venturing out to do that. Versus it being a side hustle, I'm actually doing it now as a business. But I also have, about 4 years ago, developed a love to create films. And I started with a documentary called Path to the Draft, 7 DeSoto Youth Players, because here in DeSoto, Texas, we put so many kids into college for playing football. And because of that, they're all coming out being eligible for the draft at the same time. So about 4 years ago, we had 7 eligible for the NFL draft, and they all graduated college. And I'm like, okay, that's a beautiful thing. That's something our community, we should celebrate that, they're not dumb jocks. They're going to school, and they're getting their college education, even though they may want to pursue the NFL. And so I started their journey, not realizing how long a documentary would take, not realizing it would take a hold of your life. You know, I'm just like, okay, let's just get a camera. We just, you know, get some footage, record it, and edit it, and not really knowing about how to really create a documentary. It was totally something I just learned. I didn't go to school for it, but I just knew that story was worth being told that I invested in that. And from that, 2 years later, DeSoto had another seven players eligible for the draft. Four of them got drafted. One of them went in the second round. All four of them are still playing. And this year, we should have another 7 to 10 players coming from our community eligible for the draft. So because I started that project, someone saw me from Tulsa, and they was like, hey, you should come do Black Wall Street. And I said, what's Black Wall Street? And he was like, well, Black Wall Street is, you know, something, you know, in 1921, white people came in and burned up. And I'm like, wow, really? So for, I think it was Juneteenth, we went down there. Me and my husband went down there to just check out Tulsa. Didn't really know about it. I didn't even remember learning it in school. I put a joke out there on Facebook, and I said, was I asleep in class? My classmates said, yeah, Karen, you was asleep. Because I really didn't really know about Black Wall Street. But I went down to Tulsa, and that's the young man. His name is Terry Bacchus. As he began to show me around on the street and tell me the history, he started introducing me as, these are the people who are going to make our documentary. And I was just like, oh, wow, okay. Okay, God, you must be really doing this. And so at that time, I had heard that LeBron James and Russell Westbrook was doing it. And I'm just like, okay, this is huge. Here it is that I'm taking on a project going against these other people who have the money to do it and can get the backing to do it, whereas I'm a no-name person, and here it is, I'm going to have to raise the money to do it. But anyway, I still took it on because it was a part of my heart, not realizing that what I took on with DeSoto and really sharing how important it is to embrace your community, to celebrate your community, I took on that project as far as Tucker, that's what they need to do, and that's what they did as a community in 1921. You know, it was, yeah, it was the business owner, but if it wasn't for the people in the community to support the business owners, they wouldn't have been able to make the riches that they were able to make. And so we started the journey. Yeah. We called it Greenwood Avenue Project. We call it From the People for the People. We started out with that because it's from the people of Tulsa. They want to share about their journey of being raised and born and what they have had to endure since the 1921. So we started it and didn't realize how big of a project it is. Anything that God gives me to do, it turns out to be huge. I'm like, okay, God, why do you keep giving me these huge projects? Because it costs a lot of money. And so here it is. I was like, okay, we can come up with 7 films. But, you know, because of my immaturity and everything, the guy who was editing, he said, Karen, what's the narrative? You need to know the narrative. I'm like, the narrative? Okay, I knew the narrative in DeSoto because it was a part of my heart. I was able to put it together. Well, Tulsa, it's a part of somebody else's heart. So that was a learning experience for me. But God still gave me the narrative. And right now I'm working on trying to complete this thing for February of 2022 for Black History Month, just, you know, because I spoke it, I went out there, they embraced me. I'm trying to complete it by then and bring out the community. I've probably interviewed about 50, 60 people in that community. I want them to come and do a red carpet. I want them to come and see something they were a part of, because every time someone does a documentary, they pick 4 or 5 same people, and because they want to say, okay, they're the specialists, but these people who still live there and still embracing this community still have a voice. And so it's important for me right now in my life to make every voice be important. And so I have, like I said, about 50, 60 people that we're going to try to put together this film and put it, you know, guys, give me a creative way of how to put it together. And so I'm trying to raise $25,000 in order to get that done. The editor sent me an invoice for $20,000. So I am trying to raise that money to get it done. The editor is from Tulsa. Everybody I hired was from Tulsa because they had some incentives down there. If you spend $50,000, that you might be able to get the money back, but I haven't spent that much. But I did start with that type of mindset of, you know, maybe I can get some of that money back, or, you know, apply for some kind of funding down there, but I haven't been able to do that. But I am full-fledged and trying to get this project done. And so I just appreciate you guys for allowing me to come on and just share what is going on, what we're doing, what we're trying to keep alive in that community. We're trying to create something where if we can go into the schools, if they could show the movie to the kids in the schools or something, so that that history will continue to live on. And so that's all.
Miss Reed, with your comments, Brother Harris, we just heard what Miss Reed and she was talking about. She interviewed those in Tulsa. She was at the commemoration. Now, Black Belt Wall Street, and like Miss Reed, and she was talking about, of course, we know that the Green Belt District, and we know there was a river of oil running through there that made not only the Green Belt community a very rich, but it also enriched many, many southern states that made up the Black Belt District. And of course, and I'm going to turn that over to you at this point, Brother Harris, how the Black Belt District and Booker T. Washington played the role with Black Wall Street.
All right. Yes. Thank you, Sister Reeves, and I'm delighted that you've taken on this project after working in corporate America for so many years and going into being an entrepreneur for yourself and opening up your tax office. So congratulations to you and your family.
Thank you.
The work that you're doing, it is absolutely needed. Doing the movie on the Greenwood District and Black Wall Street is very important. But one of the things that you may want to consider, and what a lot of people don't know, is that there would never have been a Black Wall Street if there wasn't a Black Belt District. The Black Belt is where the wealth of America was generated, from Galveston, Texas, all the way up to Harlem, New York. When the soldier rode into Galveston, it was a year later when the slaves realized that they were free. And in the Black Belt is where most of the plantations were at. If you ever listen to orders in history or you read the history, Booker T. Washington coined the phrase the Black Belt. And the Black Belt is a district where plantation and cotton was prevalent. Cotton was king. And this is something that we need to be able to restore through the history and understanding that it's much bigger than Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street are in every community, but it was as a result of the Black Belt District. The Black Belt is being reclaimed. So what we're asking is for movie producers, entrepreneurs like yourself, help us reclaim not only the Black Belt, but when the story is being told, make sure that we're giving people the correct information, how influential our ancestors have been to not only the development of this country, but the wealth of this country. When migration happened, when they were doing reconstruction, most of our ancestors began to migrate from the Black Belt to the Midwest, to the West Coast, to the East Coast. And if you go through history and identify places like Southside Chicago, Brownville is referred to as the Black Belt of Chicago. If you go to Harlem, Malcolm X talked about in his Ballad of the Bullet, Harlem is the Black Belt of New York. And you had a Black Belt in Chicago. You had it in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, all of the southern states, because that's where the wealth was generated to take cotton not only to America but to the world. What is happening now, when we have great people like yourself, Sister Reeves, that are putting in the time to tell the story, we have a migration of people coming back to the South. So as we're telling this story, we need to make sure that we are developing high-growth entrepreneurs that can restore the Black Belt and create a stronger Black Wall Street so that we can be able to thrive and own the block. We need to be able to own movie production houses, franchises, banks, insurance companies, real estate companies, mortgage companies. We need to be able to own large manufacturing. Currently right now in the United States, there is not a single automobile manufacturer that's African-American owned. There is not a single airline that is African-American owned.
Right.
There is not a single manufacturer of IT products and technology in the United States that's African-American owned that is manufacturing telephones. We spend all this money buying smartphones and having these devices in there. When I look at it, I was like, we don't own any of this. When we go to a hardware store, whether it be Home Depot or Lowe's, there is not a single product that's manufactured in there by an African-American firm. Now, I am sure you have African-Americans that participate in the supply chain and development of these products, but they're not the owners of the IPs. And a being focused group of people so that we can not only reclaim back the Black Belt and Black Wall Street districts, we need to become owners of these districts so that we can generate the wealth that is needed for someone like Sister Reeves to have more than enough funding to produce that movie. So I'm totally excited about what you're doing. We do have a couple of initiatives, Brother Bynum, that we would like to speak about, but I definitely am open for commentary from Sister Reeves and any questions that you may have.
And again, as callers, as you are dialing in, I am opening the mics up. So anyone who have questions in addition to Ms. Reed or anyone else, our mics are open and we do welcome your questions or comments.
Any comments? Okay, I can continue going on. One of the things that 2020 and 2021 brought within our community is COVID-19 has really changed the dynamics, but we will never go back to pre-COVID. So we have to be able to embrace our communities, creating opportunity zones to be able to take advantage of that legislation to where we can have funding for projects like what Sister Reeves is doing. Not only can we do it, when we work together, we can create an equity that can never be erased when we begin working together as African-American men and women in our community. One of the initiatives, Brother Bynum, that we are announcing to our community nationwide, we have asked individuals to invest in some of the developments that we're doing. We're no longer asking for developments. We're getting the money from a lot of different places. It's not our community, but that's okay because it has to be done. But for those of you that do want to do something and you don't have the resources, our company, Blue Dolphin Capital, is going to be offering the opportunity for those individuals that would like to get into the commercial broker business to where we can do business purpose loans and finance our businesses in our community. If you need financing for your business, we want to be the company that you come to get it done. Whether it's opening a franchise, opening a manufacturing, buying a hotel, buying an apartment complex, doing an assisted living facility, buying Airbnb, we have a lot of resources available for financing. So if you need the financing, Blue Dolphin Capital will be able to get that done for you. But more importantly, we are offering an opportunity for you to be able to come part of our company and become an independent contractor offering business purpose loans, and we will teach you how to become that expert in your marketplace. While you're helping entrepreneurs get what they want, you'll be able to build income for yourself and help our community rise up out of the current conditions that we're in. So, Brother Bynum, do you think that might be helpful for some people out in our community?
I think it would be excellent. As a matter of fact, with you saying that, I want to go back to Ms. Reed again. Ms. Reed, you was telling me in our conversation, as a matter of fact, and you was telling me about There are already some business folks that you already know that are building their own Black Wall Street beginning community. And as a matter of fact, as you can see, Brother Harris is saying, and I'm going to let you comment on that, but Brother Harris is saying, anyone who wished to identify with these young ladies that you were telling me about that are going out to start their communities, there is finance for all who wish to do this. Now, what Brother Harris is talking about is nothing new. I've been working with him now for just about 2 years, and if you heard anything about the Selma, Alabama investments that African Americans made, then this is the brother who put together the investment investors who've already purchased large amounts of real estate in Selma, Alabama. But Ms. Harris, if you would, share the information about the folks who already started, are trying to start and purchase land, and if you would share that information, we can go from there.
When I send out the email to, I went on Instagram and I just found a lot of black this, black that, and I just emailed all those people about the documentary I was doing on Black Wall Street, and I had someone that responded to me that were from, I think they were from Minnesota, and they were just like, wow, we have just started to purchase some land, and, you know, we're going to, you know, it's going to be for our black people. And so I know that. And then I know that I think it was in Houston, they had something going on where you could invest some money and you were going to be a part of this whole little shopping center type place. And then I think I seen something on TV. I don't know if it was in Florida or something. It was another black family that had bought some land and they was getting some flack about it was going to be a black area, and she was like, you know, you have Chinatown, you have Mexico Town. Why do you know? Why am I getting all this flack just because black people are trying to come together and do something for themselves? So I've read some, but I did have one person who responded to me in the email and said that they were buying land in Minnesota, and that was going to be, you know, if I were able to do a series on this Black Wall Street and Black Entrepreneur, that was going to be the end movie of the series, was to go and highlight all these different areas of places that black people are putting their money together and making something for ourselves. And that was going to be like the final movie.
So
get back
to you now, Brother Harris. You can see that the investment, and not only that we've been talking about, but you're specifically talking about now, is that we can stimulate the activities of those young ladies in Minnesota and also in many other areas, because, again, we've been saying, we are willing to become vested with each other. We're willing to become each other's assets and building businesses, and the monies is all done with African Americans. We don't have to go to these outside banks who have been redlining against us for over 100 years now. We don't. We'll just simply leave them alone. And so, Brother Harris, I'm going to get back to you after you hear what you've been hearing and see how we can continue and get the word out on what Brother Harris and what the Black Belt Wall Street is talking about, and that is become invest and building businesses in our communities. Brother Harris, I'm right back to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Bonham. You know, there's so much opportunity right now. There's never been a greater time for us as a group to begin working together and strategizing to make sure that we can build communities that are here for that next generation. And the absolute best place to do it is in the black belt. And again, for people that do not understand what the black belt is, there will be no Black Wall Street without the black belt. The black belt is an encompassed area of land where our ancestors tilled, and the last slave ship came into Alabama on the shores of Selma. Selma is called a queen city of the black belt, and that's why Selma is so important, because if it were not for Selma, in 1965, when those young people walked across that bridge with some of the leadership that was in the civil rights movement, a lot of us may not be enjoying some of the things that we are able to do today. So it's so important that not only we reclaim the black belt, but that we become large owners of large institutions, corporations, manufacturing. Some of the things that we're bringing to market to anyone that wants to be a part of helping us shape this, because it's not something that we can do by ourselves. We are developers, real estate brokers, and mortgage bankers. But we realize it doesn't matter what we're doing if we don't have the community that can do the same thing. So we're offering financing for small businesses and corporations that want to expand their business. If you have a property that you want to buy and build a manufacturing facility, we want to finance it. If you have a small business like Turkey Leg Hut that has people out the door eating those turkey legs with all that mozzarella and linguine and Alfredo, you may want to consider expanding your business, and financing is the way that you're able to do it. So we can do commercial loans for small business up to $100 million. We can do SBA loans, business lines of credit, franchise loans, hospitality loans, as well as a whole other array of type of programs that we're able to encompass. But in order for this to be effective, doesn't matter how much funding we have, if we don't have the small businesses that can take advantage of it, we need representation on the ground. So what we're asking is for the people that are in Texas, that are in Chicago, D.C., Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Tulsa, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, wherever you're at, nationwide, we can do commercial business loans for small businesses. And a lot of times we have individuals in our community that have people that are buying fix and flips. They know somebody that's buying an apartment building. They're always referring business out, but they don't get paid on it. What we're saying, if you become affiliated with Blue Dolphin Capital and you become one of the referring partners that bring deals to our table, you will get paid on that deal when that deal closed. As an example, we had a young lady that got started with the program back in October of last year. This young lady got involved because we got a system, and we call it the play. The play is we're going to show you how to do commercial mortgage banking business for small business. By us teaching you our system and giving you the playbook, you're going to be able to change your family tree and change your life. This young lady was in a situation, Brother Bond and Brother Aziz. Her home was in foreclosure. She had two kids in private school and had a young daughter in college getting ready to graduate. This is October of 2021. She got a part of the program. She followed the system. She earned $680,000 by the end of the year. Now, you have to ask yourself, how in the world did she do that? $680,000 is more money than most people would make in a lifetime. She did it in 2 months. How she was able to do that is because she had a contact in her network that was an investor that had a client that was looking for hotels. This gentleman bought three hotel properties that was over an excess of $60 million. Her very first deal was over $60 million. Mm-hmm. She was compensated in a very handsome way for her time and her service. Not only did she learn our process, but she earned a lot of money.
Brother Harris, let me just piggyback on what you're saying to verify what you're saying. As you know, I'm a financial planner just like yourself. But back in the days when we had those subprime, that subprime market got started, I myself went into a commercial real estate loans. And I'll be honest with you, I made so much money in commercial real estate loans until as a financial planner, I did it for, I guess, about a couple of years. But I made so much money that I couldn't believe the monies that I was making in real estate loans. Of course, it stopped when that a subprime market went busted. But I was also learning the commercial real estate market. And in that learning process, and like I said, I was only in it for a couple of years, and I know you got experts who've been around for years like yourself. But within that short period of time of really learning, I couldn't believe the amount of monies that I was earning. As a matter of fact, I remember the first year I was in the business, and we had a convention in Las Vegas, and I went out there and I won first prize because of the referrals. That's what I was doing because yes. I didn't really know the business as far as all, you know, as far as the real estate. I was learning, but it was the referrals that I was able to bring the brokers and my percentages from those referrals was just like me making the sale. And
that's
I couldn't believe, and as far as financial planning, where you're putting together mutual funds or annuities or indexes, it takes a lot of paperwork and all kinds of time. But in that real estate market, it was just a matter of referrals and doing the loan. And I couldn't believe, and you're right. The monies that that is in real estate and a real estate investment. So I just wanted to piggyback on that when you said that young lady made that kind of money. Yes, I believe she could, especially like you said, she had those referrals already there. All she had to do was just go to the experts, and they did everything for her. And I just wanted to confirm what you were saying because I myself I couldn't believe and what I learned also from commercial real estate banking it's information I was able to bring to the community. And there's been some advancements right here in Washington, D.C. that we've made. And I know it has a lot to do with some of the knowledge that I learned in real estate banking. So, and I'm not saying I am the one, but I here in Washington, D.C., from that real estate banking, we have and Brother Aziz can verify this, right now, we have a $50 million project that's being built as we speak knowledge of real estate banking. So, yes, it's huge. And I didn't want to cut you, but I wanted to share in the value, Brother Harris, of what you were saying and the earnings that this young lady made because, again, just think, this $50 million project that we are putting, that we here in Washington, D.C. are doing. Just think if one person had made that particular sale.
That's right. That's right.
And you started talking about paying this person 7% of that sale or somewhere in that neighborhood. That is, and I'm saying those are rookie choice. That's not the broker's fee. Those are the servants, the folks who work for the brokers or fees. That's the kind
Absolutely.
Of money he's making. So, you know, so I wanted to share that, verify what you were saying. Because,
I really appreciate that, Brother Bynum. And, like, for the people that are in Tulsa, there's a lot of people there that are doing things that want to rebuild that area. And in order to do anything, you need capital. So if you don't have the capital, you need to find a way to be able to earn that capital or get the capital. This is one of the unique ways that we have identified that we can help people within the African-American community to be able to develop the capital where they can come self-sufficient and they can fund their own projects. Everyone in our community knows somebody that's doing a multi-million dollar deal. But unfortunately, we're not the ones getting paid on those transactions because we tend to refer those out to other people or to banks, to people that don't even know that we can be of help to them, and they go make all the money because you had the contact. We're saying to anyone that's on this call, if you are an entrepreneur-minded individual, you have a good moral compass, and you want to do good for our community, we are offering our commercial program that we call the system. It's called the playbook. And we have the play that can help you create wealth for your family and your community. So if you're interested in learning more about how you can get started in your area so that 2022 will be the best year that you've ever had, I'm going to encourage you to go to our trade association. It is called ARI. It's the Association of Independent Real Estate Experts. And if you go to the website, it is AIREEgroup.com. And become a member or send us a request that you're interested in becoming a commercial business purpose broker. And if you get us that, someone will email that to my company, and we'll get on a call with you to see if you're a good fit and get you started with our system so that you can win big in 2022. Brother RZ, I'm so excited about what Sister Reeves is doing. And Sister Reeves, is there people within your network that want to help your next project be funded? This is a great way for us to be able to do that to help you as well.
That's great. You know, I don't know if you guys know much about DeSoto, Texas, but DeSoto, Texas is a predominantly black middle class community. I think we had like 50,000 people, and we had an Albertson that shut down probably like 2 years ago. And so in this community, a lot of black people don't own anything, and it's hard for us to get businesses to come here. But if you go North Dallas, in those communities, you have shopping centers that are popping up like left and right. But here in DeSoto, southwest DeSoto, Dallas, we're struggling with getting businesses to come to our community. And so that was, you know, that right there is something that is right up. I'm like, I'm ready to expose that, you know, because when I came here, if I came here from California and my coworkers told me to go north, and if I go north, that's predominantly white. But if I come south, that's predominantly black. And so that I think that's why one of the reasons why I have such a heart and compassion about this community, because I was born in Arkansas. But I just see if we come together as a community, how much we could accomplish. And so to hear you say that, you know, you could possibly bring some funding here where we could attract some of these sprouts or, you know, better food businesses in our community. We can build our community.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Ms. Reed, with that said, and I know I was telling you that the same way we have our promotional radio station, and this is why our way of promoting to the community, you also have your channels of communications. And like I was saying, we will definitely come on but with you on your channels of communications in the community that you are keeping informed. And we will talk about these things just like we're talking about it here on Black Belt Wall Street, a blog. We will also come on your stations. And because yes, the whole thing, Ms. Reed, you see, the African-American community where you live is the same problem that you have in African-American communities all over this country, and that is they have no way of being informed when it comes to financial opportunities. They have no way of being informed because, again, the things that we can do collectively, that information is not put out in the community. So it's up to us to get that information out into the communities. So again, in a way, when you say there's 50,000 African Americans in this community and there is no commerce, and how bad that can be, and you can flip that coin and say you're really in a real good position. Racism and redlining, of course, it was and I don't know how much you know about redlining, but it was something that was instituted against African Americans. As a matter of fact, Tulsa and the soldiers who came home, who went to war, and those few soldiers who came home, those veterans, when they came home, the New Deal had been promised to all war veterans. But unfortunately, that was taken away from the black war veterans, and the New Deal, they wasn't a part of the New Deal. And redlining was instituted in all black communities, which means that this is why you don't have any businesses in your communities, any banks, any financial institutions, or any types of businesses directly in the black communities, because the federal government that started redlining, they blocked the funds from coming into the black communities. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to come on with another New Deal as we speak. The Congress of this country has already approved for the president this stimulus package where over $2 trillion have been awarded to advance businesses and monies another New Deal. The question is, how much of these, and now remember, taxpayers' money is funding all of these trillions of dollars that's going to be going into to stimulate our economy and advance our economics and our systems. But how much of that money is going to come into the African-American communities? And so, again, and I would say if we don't do be very proactive about it, I would go to say none of it is going to come in, just like none of it came in our communities before. And that is because the federal government has put barrels. We know about your side of the track. Black folks and white folks know their place. Well, that was put into a praxis way before you were born, but that praxis have never stopped. I can tell you, and Brother Aziz and I can tell you, I ran into a situation, and this is something that's going to be exposed, as to where I ran into a legislator in the state of Delaware, where the president is from, and this white legislator, he didn't know I was with Black Wall Street, and I had the channels of putting information out. He just thought I was a regular one of his constituents living out there in the rural area, And he asked us if we had any concerns in this here Suffolk County, Delaware. And we told him that the African Americans, I told him, no, they didn't have any concerns. But I told him I had a concern, and that was why wasn't there any black businesses in the black, why wasn't there any businesses in the black communities that came to loans and our money's leaving our communities and nothing coming back. The man told me, said there's legislators, white legislators, who have made it, who have put together legislation as to where black folks in Sussex County in this town is prohibited from doing any businesses. And the reason they're prohibited from doing business is that they was too close to the heavy flow of traffic that a Route 1 was bringing, that was bringing all those folks to the beach from Maine to Ocean City. And the millions and millions, but they didn't want that black town putting up no business signs or having anything to do with having the advantage of that huge traffic flow that was coming through their town. And so they put a legislated law saying that this town couldn't do business, period. So that's the type of, they don't, so when you start talking about Black Wall Street and its destruction, that destruction is still, they're still trying to keep it in existence even after 100 years. So that's why in your home, the town you're talking about, and many, many black towns all over this country, you don't see any businesses because it goes way back to a redlining. And that redlining means that we want to keep financial institutions out of black communities. We don't want the black communities having access to large amounts of monies. Your homes, was it equities in your homes? There was no equities in African Americans' homes until I would say just a few years ago. You would start saying, now I can access equity from my home, but for the longest time, no black folks. If you lived in a black communities, and most black communities today, anytime you do not have commerce in your community is no more than a ghost town, and we know what a ghost town is. So
that's right.
So again, this is why. It's an advantage to us because it's an advantage to us to do what those sisters did in Minnesota, to start a business in their own communities, buy land, because in the black communities, probably can buy this land. I know you can buy this land much cheaper than you could if you went up to the white communities where you're going to deal with all kinds of discrimination. So again, it's a big advantage to African Americans all over this country to start growing businesses right in their own black communities. That's where their advantages are. The same disadvantages that that was imposed on them can be a huge advantage because the price is right in the black communities for us to grow. So
absolutely.
And Brother Harris, that's just no more than what you have been talking about all evening. And here it is. We have investment bankers, and I know this for a fact because I've been working with Brother Harris over 2 years. Yes, there are investment bankers out here who wish to, who are ready to put up millions of dollars to grow businesses in the black. And this is no favor thing. No, they know that there's a huge profit. There's nothing more powerful in this country than the black dollar. You take that black dollar away from that Caucasian market, and brother, they will feel it. I mean, you start talking. I haven't gotten the figures. I don't know if anybody gotten the figures on the spendings that African Americans did during this year. Black Friday participations, but I'll be pulling them up here soon and be sharing them. But I can tell you, they did say that as far as the markets stimulations, it went up from last year's, and we know they made a bunch of money last year, but they said that rose 12%. So 12% from last year's revenues to this year's revenues is a whole lot of money. And I can tell you right now, a lot of that is from the African-American black dollar. Have to be, because we're forced to do business with them, and they want to keep it that way. So
absolutely.
So again, I am going to welcome anybody's comments or anything anybody wish to say. We're coming up on the 8 o'clock hour, and I'll go right on back to any comments, Brother Aziz. I know you've been rather quiet this evening. Any comments you wish to say, or Brother Harris, or Sister Reed, and audience.
I do have a comment, Brother. While I was listening to what you were saying, you were right on point, and two things jumped out at me. The first thing is that when we see something going wrong in our communities, we have to start respecting our own money and our own value and not do business with people that don't respect us. 2.5 weeks ago, there was a lawsuit that came out against State Farm. One of our sisters, Dr. Carla Jackson, was discriminated against. She was fired from State Farm after working there 28 years. She's at the top of her class in everything that she does. She has a PhD. She has 2 master's degrees. She has the highest designation that you can get in the insurance industry as a charter underwriter. And they fired her because she called them out for being discriminatory against employees and their clients.
Yeah.
Now, if African Americans continue to do business with State Farm after seeing this story of this beautiful African American woman that has been humiliated by a group of other people that don't look like us, and everyone is saying it's okay. I don't believe it's okay. We have to start respecting our money and stop doing business with people that don't respect us. If we do that, the effect that you were talking about, how strong the African-American dollar is or the black dollar, will be shown in a big way. The second thing that I wanted to just say based on your comments, if we know of any other companies that support State Farm, we need to not go out and scream and shout in the streets. We need to automatically be a silent protest and say, I'm no longer doing business with you. That's what we're going to do to change our community so places like DeSoto, Texas can begin thriving again, because there's a lot of money out there in the African-American community that can invest into areas like DeSoto, Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, if you listen to all the number of players that have come from DeSoto, Texas, we should be advocating for the NFL to come and put a development center there, come and put some type of community program there. They're taking our young men from our community, making billions of dollars off of them, and a town of 50,000 African-Americans outside of Dallas, Texas, don't have any industry.
Right.
That is a travesty, and we should not allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
No, right ahead. Anybody have any comments? Go ahead and we'll listen, make your comments. I would like to say though, Brother Harris, on that sister being fired in State Farm's insurance companies. Now you see, one of the things you can do, especially when it comes to an insurance company like State Farm, they don't want bad publicity, especially when it gets out to the public. And so I would say start writing letters and inform others and everybody who is listening here tonight. Write the home office of State Farm and let them know we've heard about this incident. I can tell you right now, that's what's going to get things done with that insurance. Insurance companies do not want bad publicity, especially when you start talking about racial discrimination. But if you don't bring it forward, if you keep it silent, they will, and because I can tell you right now, when it comes to underwriters, the job that Brother Harris was very talking about, when it comes to underwriters with all of these insurance companies, financial institutions, banks, there are very, very few black underwriters. Very few. And so, again, and you can see the kind of qualities that the young lady had to have just to have that a position. And I can tell you right now, I doubt if she was a chief underwriter. So, yes, right. I would be one of the first ones to concoct a letter myself. But you know what would be wonderful if we could hear from the sister herself and how we can assist her. And like I said, we put a lot of money into car insurance and commercial insurance and any type of other insurance, the life insurance. And yes, if we can identify State Farm for doing such a thing, let them know we can identify them. Spread the word that this is happening and let the sister know that we want to support her. And this is in any way we can, if she wants to come on. And again, because see, our channels of communications are not that great. That's why the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street and the New Africa Business Association, we keep paying for these radio stations and any other. And Miss Reed was telling me some other enhancements that we're going to be doing as far as being able to get the word out and communicate. Because that's the biggest, and see, white folks, they know this. They know that when it comes to channels of communications, we don't have too many channels to communicate and say some of the things that we would like to know, like to have known that's going on in our communities. So, yes, go right ahead, Brother Harris.
Hey, I didn't want to cut you off, but in addition to what she's going through, she's being represented by Brother Ben Crump. So she has an excellent attorney, but we need people all across America. It doesn't matter if you don't have State Farm insurance. You need to be writing a letter, sending an email, doing a Twitter or something. State Farm owns a bank. They have a large mortgage presence. What's happening is because of the practices that they have in their insurance company that is spilling over to denying home ownership to African Americans. It's denying them to have the right type of policies, charging them 2 to 3 times more money than is necessary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
So, again, that's why, yes, you have to let them know this is happening. And That's the only way you're going to get results, because, see, they're used to us being quiet and taking it. And that's something that we're going to just have to stop doing. We're going to have to put an end to it. And we have to do it collectively and together. And, again, Black Belt Wall Street and any channels of communications that we have, we're certainly out to put an end to racial discrimination, and especially redlining. Redlining has cost us, I can't tell you how much money redlining has cost the African-American nation. I don't think nobody will be able to come up with the figure. But anyway, any comments anyone wish to continue to make? If not, then we will consider closing out and coming in again next Wednesday, but your comments or any comments anyone wish to make, our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
I would just want to say that when you call me and you start talking to me about black belts, I was like, okay, that's another thing I've never heard of. And
yes.
So I just text a person that's a historian. I asked him, and she was like, yeah, she heard of it. And I'm just looking online to see if I see any literature. I see a couple of videos on YouTube. But that's the kind of stuff we need to create and create it visually in a video, because that's something that can continually be played. And so
let me ask you something. Have you ever heard it? Have you ever heard of the Cotton Club?
Yeah, I heard of the Cotton Club on TV, the movie.
Now, the Cotton Club, of course, was one of the most popular places in this country. I mean, the most classic. The thing about the Cotton Club, it was one of the highest class places you could go in New York, but only white folks could go there, even though black folks were the one that owned the Cotton Club.
Do
you know how the Cotton Club and that rich entertainment and all the monies that was made from the Cotton Club got started? Black Belt Wall Street, the Nation of Islam. I mean, it goes on and on. Just about everything that went on in the South. When they start talking about migration, remember, 3 years before the migration started, Ford had made the Model T. And the Model T, when Ford made that Model T, you could buy a brand new Model T for $100. And of course, $100 back during that time, during the time of Black Belt Wall Street in the Greenwood District, $100 was a nice amount of money. So the average African American, when Model T was made, they didn't buy a Model T. That $100 was too much for them. But again, after 3 years of Ford making that Model T, now what happens is that the Model T, the ones that was originally made, is a used car now. So what happens? The used car business come into play. And when the used car business came into play, a Model T now, a used one, a year old cost $75. A Model T that was 2 years old cost $50. A Model T, when they first made it, was as much as 3 years old, you could buy it for $25. That's why you saw Africa, and see now that Black Belt Wall Street, Booker T. Washington, they're spreading all this money throughout the South, stimulating businesses and opportunities for African Americans throughout the South and all up North, all over the place. Black Belt Wall Street is stimulating black communities. But this migration as to where black folks now could leave the South and get out of those contracts that the white folks had them under. They had paid these contracts off. But that Model T, you remember, if you look at some of the pictures, how high packaged. When they would pack their cars and start moving from the South and going North, how high they would have their suitcases, and I mean tied down. You couldn't believe how much stuff they could pack on a car moving North. But see, this is the type of monies that Black Belt Wall Street was able to get throughout black communities as to where they could start doing something for themselves. And that's why that migration from the South, and you see, like I said, all over the northern parts of many places that you heard Brother Harris mention, this is how all of this activities and movement was about and was able to be afforded because of the opportunities that black folks had monies and the opportunities of that money is being spread around by Black Belt Wall Street. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Black Belt Wall Street, and then Wall Street is the banks that spread this money throughout the country and why a Wall Street black, why was Greenwood District and Black Belt Wall Street able to spread the money throughout the country? Yes, like you said, Sister Harris, the folks that lived in Tulsa, African Americans, yeah, they was filthy rich. I mean, that river of oil that they had there. Every black folks in Tulsa could have $1 million, and they still haven't spent the money that was coming in from that oil that they was able to keep. And without folks like J. Paul Getty and the rest of those white folks who came into Tulsa from all over the country, not only the country, but all over Europe. That's why J. Paul Getty became the richest man in the world during that time, because he had stolen all that oil, and he was trying to steal the rest that Black Wall Street, Greenwood District had, but they was able to keep their small batch. But that small batch created the type of income flow that the Greenwood District, and that's when Booker T. Washington, who the Greenwood District invited to come there. That's why his school and everything, when he came there, and remember, the Greenwood District had their own airports. They flew Booker T. Washington all over parts of the South and places as to where they could get information as to where they could invest their monies. So African Americans, you know, back when, go right ahead. Come right on in with me.
Yeah, I was going to come in, you know, and Sister Reeves, when you were saying you didn't know about the Black Belt, it's because a lot of our history has been hidden, have been told. But when O.W. Gurley came to Tulsa, Oklahoma, what a lot of people don't know is that he came from Arkansas, from the Black Belt of Arkansas. His family came from Alabama. So all of the wealth of the United States was generated in the Black Belt, and what happened is that these men and women, it was a very known thing to go start your own little city. So as they started these cities, Booker T. Washington, when he came to visit, he called it Black Wall Street, but he also said there would not be a Black Wall Street without the Black Belt. The Black Belt was fertile soil, but it also was the place where our ancestors were enslaved and they were on plantations, so that they were making wealth for everybody else, not just America, but for Europe, for the United Kingdom, for Australia, for China. We supplied the cotton for the world for almost 100 years.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Sister, like I said,
you're
walking into a powerful history when you start talking about a Black Wall Street, Black Wall Street and Black Belt Wall Street and the Greenwood District, and how the South and many parts of not only the South but parts of the North, where African Americans were had large communities, they were financed by the Greenwood District, Black Wall Street, and it was all done through the Black Belt District. So we got a whole lot of so that's why I wanted to start off this year talking about this subject right here. And like I said, it's a start off because we cannot stop talking about it. We have to rebuild the Black Belt Wall Street. And every community out there have to become a Black Wall Street. And when every community is successful at being a Black Wall Street, our job is done, but we won't have to worry about white folks firing us from our jobs because of whatever disposition they want to fire. No, we won't need their jobs anymore. Just like you said, Sister, after 30-some years, you left your job and you went into your own business, tax preparations, which is needed very big. Do well in your business. And like I said, when you start talking about tax preparations is something you can do in your where you live, but you can also do tax preparations for anybody who wishes to send you their taxes and send you their information and have you to do their taxes. So get yourself known out here as one who is ready to do business and personal taxes. And like I said, and if there's a way we can all work together to promote that, then I'm for it. And as a financial planner, you are part of my presentation, because taxation, I need to talk about taxation when I'm doing a financial profile of a person. Taxes is going to be involved in that. So you're going into a business that is needed very badly, and I can tell you right now, financial planners, tax estate planners, and taxes, that's needed in the community every day. As soon as you wake up, you need one of them, and you need all of them. I had my taxes done by my tax person, and it's a pity I'm getting ready to write the Internal Revenue FET check, and I'm asking myself, what do I get back in return for this check that I've been writing and been writing them for years? Or what in the world I get back in return? And I don't see anything I get back in return for my money, because monies don't come back into my communities. Redlining has kept that from happening, and it's still keeping it from happening. So,
well, Mr. Biden, you were saying you're getting ready to write a big check to Uncle Sam, who you don't know, because you owe. And so this documentary, you know, I have a physical sponsor, which means that your donation is a tax write-off, which will go on your Schedule A, which would reduce your taxable income, which would reduce your taxes, and then you know me. So I just want to give you that plug that this is a tax write-off for you to make a donation to help me do this documentary.
Well, you got. I told you before, you got my donation coming, and yes, because you're a nonprofit, that doesn't mean that I can't make several donations, because it is a tax write-off, and yes, and we like to spread that information as much as possible, because again, yes, I am writing this check. And right now, I think I've done as much as I can on my Schedule C at this moment, but I'll be doing another one this year. So, yes, I look forward to now knowing that there is an African-American that I can, and believe me, that I do. I look hard for that during the regular year, is I try to put as much as my donations into African-Americans. I don't put nothing in that red pillow. I stopped putting stuff in that red killer years ago when I found out how much money the white folks were stealing from putting monies into that red killer. So I don't mess with those as my tax write-offs. You know, I try to find as many African-American projects as I can to put my tax donations. So, yes, that's what I'm saying. As far as your... This document that you're doing, we need to talk about that. You need to get that out much more, because you should be able to raise this $25,000 you're talking about raising, and you should do that pretty quickly. And I think you will, if folks only knew about the value of what you're trying to bring on. So like I said, Black Belt Wall Street is willing to work with you, and we need to work together. So again, Any comments anybody would like to make? Brother Aziz, you've been a little quiet this evening, but any comments anybody would like to make?
Yeah.
You're welcome to your comments.
Right, yeah, well, I'd like to thank Ms. Reese and for sharing that information and the endeavor that she's on, because the people that she's interviewed, the 59 or 50-some people that she's interviewed, that's an important thing, because a lot of times people that hold the history of the past and that, when they're dead and gone, you can't ask them no questions. You can't get that information, yeah. And that's lost. And that's lost information. So to be able to gather information from people that still know, since this event was 100 years ago, or well, going on 101 years now, it's good to be able to get that information and put it somewhere where and share it with the people, as well as make sure it's preserved where that history can be taught to our young and those that don't know. And I appreciate you doing that. And again, as Brother Bilal say, before we get off the air, Ms. Reese, if you could give the information and tell how people can come and make a donation to your organization, that would be very helpful.
Yes, Bob.
And I want to thank Brother Harris for his regular contribution of educating our listening audience, and I don't want to let it be known that it's just a listening audience. Thank you for educating me on a lot of the financial matters that's going on and what you're doing, because that is so important to be able to have folks come to you and your organization to be able to get financing and get it done in a way that they know that, you know, everything is above board, there's some trust there, so we definitely want to keep that being promoted on our program. And as far as anything to say, you guys covered everything I wanted to open my mouth about. And I just want to say thank you again. And I pray our audience really got a reward out of what was being said tonight. So that's what I have to say. And thank you to everyone. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you, Brother Ozzie. Well, yeah, I want to just, my last little comment, Sister Reeves, I really appreciate what you're doing. And if you could email me directly, Brother Bonham will give you my information so that we can send you something for what you're trying to do. Also, for anyone that's interested in becoming a commercial business purpose broker, please make sure that you go to Aire Group, that's A-I-R-E-E group.com, a request for membership, and comment in the section that you would like to become a commercial purpose broker. We're going to finance the African-American community in 2022 and beyond. So Brother Aziz, Brother Bonham, thank you so much.
Yes.
And Sister Reeves, is a delight to engage with you.
And thank you, Brother Harris. Go right ahead, Sister Reeves.
Okay, I just wanted to let you guys know that you can donate. I have a GoFundMe page. I had an Indiegogo campaign, but it just ended, so I had to create a GoFundMe page. And if you go to Greenwood Avenue Project, Black Wall Street, you should be able to see it. But Mr. Bonham has the link as well, and so I believe he's going to be emailing it out to people to donate. And I thank you guys again. I really appreciate you guys allowing me this, you know, to come on the show. And you guys have so much information. You know, that's what we live in, the age of information. You guys have so much. And so I was telling Mr. Biden that I have a platform called StreamYard. And StreamYard is a platform where you can go live in several locations all at the same time. And so right now,
mm-hmm.
when you go live, you can go live on YouTube, you can go live on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and so in different groups and stuff like that. So I was telling him that I'm already paying for that, and so you guys are welcome to use that platform. I'll show you how to set it up. You can connect your Facebook pages to it, and so you can link up to like 10 different eight different sites that you can link to it, and you can have up to 10 people on the show to actually speak at one time, you know, during the show. And so you guys are more than welcome to use. I told Mr. Bynum I was going to bring him on my show, have some other tax ladies, and we was going to start doing something like tax talk or something like that. But we're also busy trying to get our software and stuff up and running. But like I said, you guys are more than welcome. You can pick a day and a time, and we'll set the broadcast up, and you guys can start sharing that information. And I'll show you how to run it and help you, and let's go. I mean, you know, we got to get it out where they can go back and listen to it. If they don't listen to it today, they can always go back and find it and listen to it when, you know, just like now
when
you guys are talking about black belt, you know, so now I'm finna go research it so I can go back and find other people who've talked about it. And so that's what it's important to get these recordings out, so when people research it, they can go back and find the information that is needed.
Yes.
So again,
yes,
I just want to thank you guys. I really appreciate you guys for allowing me to be on your platform.
Well, it's not only allowing, like I said, Sister Reed, you're one of us now. This is, you know, this conversation
absolutely.
We're holding tonight cannot be just a one-time conversation. We got to keep this information out there, whether it's going through whatever channels we go through. We got to keep this information out there because, again, what Black Belt Wall Street and the Black Belt District is having its effects. When we first started talking to each other about 3 years ago, nobody knew nothing. And now you're finding whispers of Black Wall Street, at least. I think the Black Belt is something that is still being comprehended, understood. But we know that Black Wall Street is something that everybody is whispering something about. So what it is, we got to make the corrections and their knowledge. And this film and this that you're putting together, Ms. Reed. And also, I think, have we done anything, because I knew a couple of basketball players was interested in this. Have you had any communications with them whatsoever, Ms. Reed?
No, I haven't had any communication. You know, it's hard to get to those people, LeBron and Russell Westbrook, and I've been trying to get, you know, other people to sign off, you know, get their endorsement, because it's even hard to even get the news to come and interview us because we don't have no quote elite people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I haven't.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll work at it. We'll work at it. We think we're unique, unique people. So, we'll work at it. So again, with that said, any comments that anybody wish to make, we certainly welcome your comments. And
Brother Alpilan, I had one more to say.
Yes.
One of the things that we put out to our audience is that next month, being Black History Month, we would like to talk more about African-American black businesses that are out there today and that had been formed many years ago that are still there today, like insurance companies and that, as well as we know that from the Black Wall Street history of Tulsa, that when that place got burned down, there are still survivor children of the business owners that are in Atlanta that came to Atlanta and started up businesses. So we want our audience to know that's one of the things we want to talk about in Black History Month is African-American businesses.
Yes, yes.
Again,
that's what our network marketing is all about, is trying to identify all the businesses that we possibly can so we can talk about them, promote them, get to know each other, whatever it takes.
That's right.
Yeah, anytime there is an African-American business. And tell African-Americans, this is a platform where they can come on. We ain't charging you no money. No, of course we need your assistance, but right now we're more interested in identifying businesses and doing business with each other than we are as far as making a dollar from you. So we're trying to promote you more than we're trying to promote our own self. So. This is the Black Belt Wall Street, along with the Black Wall Street. But like I said, we don't use that word Black Belt Wall Street because white folks have patents on Wall Street there, and they're making so much money off everything we say. As a matter of fact, every time we use the word now, Black Wall Street, we're basically promoting white organizations. These white organizations are selling Black Wall Street. I mean, they're selling our kids red, black, and green paraphernalia, African-American paraphernalia, all kinds of black. And when you buy it, nobody's making money but white folks. So that's how they got... Black Wall Street, they have a patent on Black Wall Street as to where you can't really do nothing as far as starting a Black Wall Street and say, I'm going to open a banking account and I'm going to get all of these members because, again, Black Walls, these folks, because they have a patent, they can ask you to come and sue and take everything you have. But Black Belt Wall Street is too big. See, they can do this to Tulsa, Oklahoma, because Tulsa, Oklahoma is just one entity. But Black Belt Wall Street is all over the country. It's too big to touch. So, again, it's the Black Belt Wall Street. Yes, go right ahead, please.
I was going to say, I wanted to ask Brother Harris if he could tell us one more time about the incident that happened out in L.A., where some African Americans wanted to purchase a mall out in.
There was a group out there, a group of African American developers, entrepreneurs. It's called the Crenshaw Mall. The mall is in the heart of the African American community. They actually got together and they raised over $115 million. They put in the bid for to buy that mall so they can create African-American, boutique businesses within a district that they can own and control. A non-African-American organization, which is white, they came in and they offered a lower bid and the landowner gave them the building. It's because we as a group, no matter if we have all the degrees, if we have all the money, if we have all the right things in place, we're still getting overlooked because there's one thing that we have missed. We don't own anything.
Yeah.
You got to own it first, because if an African-American person had owned that building, other than a white person owning the building, they would have sold it to the African-American group. So you are respected by what you own.
Yeah.
So we have to become large owners of land and buildings that we have to make sure that our children's children are not going to sell it and put it into a trust so that it can be here 200 years down the road.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
Absolutely right. We wouldn't be able to own the property that here in Washington, D.C., that we're doing a $50 million project on it, and it's going up in the air right now. But I'm gonna be honest with you, if we didn't own that property is some of the most valuable property in Washington, D.C. But if we didn't own it because of where it's located, If we didn't own it, there is no way in the world African Americans could have ever gotten our hands on that property at that location on Martin Luther King Avenue down in Anacostia, one of the most famous. And I'm saying, you can see the White House. You can see the monument.
Yes.
You can see all the rich sites. And the subway is no more than a block away. No way we could have owned that type of a real estate unless we owned the real estate itself. And that's why we were able to do this, because we own the real estate itself. And I can tell you right now, we had some real big offers when it came to folks who was trying to buy it from us. So, again, Brother Harris is right. There is nothing, and that's what I was telling Sister Reed when we were talking about it. There is nothing like owning property. If you can buy land, buy it. And Sister Reed, when you start talking about your community, 50,000 strong, you are in a rich community. It's just a matter of bringing the Congress into that community and everybody becoming rich. And that's the objective that needs to be made. And matter of fact, that might be a good place for us to hold a business convention this year. It's right down in the community, just like yours. That's where we want to come to, is communities just like yours, because Brother Harris and our Brother Aziz, Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association, this is what we've been trying to develop ever since we've been into this business conversation, is identify Black communities, and these Black communities is where we want to become vested with each other and bring businesses into that community. And so that's what... That's the sale pictures that we have to make. We've got to show our communities how valuable they are. And realizing how valuable they are, now they can invest into their own values. So, so as much as you can see, you might be a little disappointed. And having a community where there's 50,000 and no commerce, that could be the best thing going in your community. Like Brother Harris said, every client that you bring in that goes into business, just think you're the broker of that new client. And you got 50,000 of them that you can bring in. You'll be the richest person in the state. So, yes, and that goes on in many, many African-American communities. Let's bring in and let's invest in our own communities. Brothers and sisters, again, we'll still have a few moments. If we have any more comments, we'll definitely continue our comments. If anybody want to sort of take a nightcap and cut it to next Wednesday, it's totally up to you. I've enjoyed every moment of this conversation. So, again, our mics are still open. And any callers out there that might be listening, we welcome your comments. Our mics are open.
Yeah, Brother Bilal, it seems like DeSoto, Texas would be an ideal place. And Brother Harris, an ideal place for a business oasis, you know, it's like a desert. DeSoto don't have no businesses there. That Sister Harris Reed was saying.
Well, you have a space. And on top of that, Brother Isaiah, remember, all of these business developers that we know that we can go into Sister Reed's home, and we know when it comes to building homes, we got our own home builders.
Mm-hmm.
We know when it comes to building commercial establishments, home and commercial establishments all mixed together, we have those folks. We have the engineers. In other words, now we're trying to put together all of these for the last few years, all of these African Americans that we have contacted, and we know what they do. We have all the pieces now to build our communities, including financing. The only thing we need to do now is to present what we have to the communities. In a community like Sister Rita, yes, we need to go there and present to that community that, yes, everything you need as far as going into a business, or building or maybe want new homes or affordable homes. All of this can be done by African Americans. And this is what we need to bring all these valuable entrepreneurs to communities like Sister Reese and many other African American communities. But it sounds like that is a community that we would be interested in promoting with. So, Sister Reese, spread the word. And like I said, tell the folks to come on to the radio station. We'll be on your station talking. But the whole thing is bringing out the value of your communities. And I'm saying, I don't know how many African-American communities all over this country, because one thing about it, I don't care where you travel to. You go into an African-American community anywhere in this country, and you're going to run out of businesses. There won't be no businesses in the communities. You got to go uptown, crosstown, or somewhere like that in order to have a nice set-down restaurant, hotels, gas stations, or anything that should be in a community. You won't find it in the black communities because redlining prevented these businesses from coming into their communities. A terrible thing as far as discriminating against the peoples, but that same discrimination could be to our advantage. So,
Brother Bonner?
Yes, go right ahead, Brother Harris.
So when you were talking about, the devastation of redlining and how you can go to an African-American community, you cannot find businesses. It's not that we can't find businesses, it's that we don't have access to capital. Because you take those same communities, now you get white people moving in, and all of a sudden the same area that was African-American is now thriving. So the only missing solution is us having access to capital, but we have the capital. If we can band together and begin doing business together and putting our money together, we can rebuild our communities to where we own the block, we own the businesses, and we no longer are gentrified out of the market to where we have to go move somewhere else.
You see, Brother Hans, that's what I mean about making African Americans realize how valuable they are and how valuable their communities are so they can invest in themselves.
Yeah,
so they can invest into themselves. So what we're talking about, folks, I don't think probably is never even considered, let alone being proactive and making these things happen. So it's up to us to not only go in there with the information, but to go in there and show the value and then pull from that value by, we all, like I said, you invested in yourself. And we want to invest in you because we know your values. But we need you to know what, as a business person, I need you to know what I know about you. As a financial planner, I need you to know what I know. And that is that you and our communities is probably one of, I'll be honest with you, it's probably one of the best investments that a person can make in this country right now is in the African American community.
Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that's hard to visualize or to see, but again, if you know what I know, then yes, the African American community, because again, if you had a community like going on back to Sister Reed again, a community is to where the black community, when a person came outside of their house, the business is right there, and they're right there beside them. If you was living in an apartment building in the back community when you came down, not only are you living in a residential area, but you're also living in a commercial area. It's all mixed in together. And now we don't have to move out of our communities. And then look at the jobs that this is bringing. Not only are the investors are becoming wealthy, but look at the employment that you're bringing, because someone has got to work for you, those investors who own these properties and what have you. So jobs, economics, it all comes together, and we can do this. But again, you have to realize your own value. That's the only way you're going to invest in yourself, is you have to realize your own values. So brothers and sisters, again, this is 2022. And like I said, 2022, for the last few years, we've been trying to teach and educate. I think we've done enough of that teaching and educating. It's time now to get started. It's time to start building. And that's the state I'm at right now. Like I said, Brother Harris, those funds that you were talking about investing together, that's what we got to. And let me also say this. This opportunity Brother Harris has given you guys as far as become real estate brokers, real estate investors, and many states you have to have a license. I don't know if that's true in the states that we're, but I know in some states, in the state of Maryland, you've got to do 40 hours of classroom training in order to become a loan officer. So again, what I'm saying, if you have the opportunity of learning and getting your certificate as a loan officer and getting the training that comes with it, because I can tell you right now, I took that course. It's a big course. It's not a course that the average person can take and learn on their own. You need a real estate brokers who has been in the business to explain the technology. You're going to need their help. But once you get that information, real estate market, especially for African Americans, because Brother Harris, as far as I know, there are very few real estate investors in this country.
Yeah, there's not a lot of real estate brokers in the country, and one of the things with the program that we're offering, because we recognize that it does take a lot of education and capital to get into this business, so we have found a way for people to get in on the commercial side. So as a commercial broker, you would be able, anybody, as long as you got a good moral compass and you want to do what's right, we can get you contract with our company to offer commercial loans, not residential. Residential, you have to be licensed. Mm-hmm. But on the commercial side, mm-hmm. you can use our company license. So you will be able to do business in all 50 states under Blue Dolphin Capital. So that's an opportunity for someone that wants to get in and learn how the finance business works without having to go through. We'll teach you what you don't know. And it's an opportunity for you to be able to help your community, help people within in your marketplace. But it's a great opportunity right now, because there are so many communities where there are not homes, there are not enough homes. But what's happening, because there's been such a demand of people moving away from buying stuff from China, and we got all those ships out there, America manufacturing is becoming very big right now. So guess what's happening? High-growth entrepreneurs are starting to redevelop and reemerge in America. And a lot of those people that are reemerging, they're African-American. They look like you and I. But what they don't have is the capital. So we need to be there in position to say, hey, we can get you the capital. As long as you have your business plan put together, you have a business that has a viable service, or you're buying real estate tied to that business, we can get you financing. And by getting them financing for a person that has little to no experience, we can put them in a position to where they can be earning a high six-figure income. That's unheard of, but we're doing that because we understand our community is on ICU. The only way that we're going to bring our community out where we're at right now, we have to become high-growth entrepreneurs. We have to understand how money works. And once we understand how money works, we have to reinvest into our community by buying land and property and creating businesses.
Yep. So again, so again, brothers, I suggest for all of you, those of you who are listening, take the advantage of this training that is being offered here, because the type of training Brother Harris is talking about offering you, I don't know if you're going to find that too many places. I haven't heard of too many places that is offering this type of training without all kinds of conditions that will go with it. So
well, sharing it with African-Americans, period.
So, I'm sorry, Brother Andre.
We're sharing this kind of information. I say what Brother Harris is offering is something that is not being offered to African Americans.
That's my point.
That's what's important there to remember, that this is something that is not offered to African Americans, period. Because
so take advantage of it.
Because of the wealth that you can get in there, and it's, you know, so that's something that I hope our listeners
The wealth, and like I said, right now that market is dominated by Caucasians. I'm saying they're making billions. And of course, anything that we want to do in that market, nine times out of ten, we're going to go to a Caucasian because we don't know of any African Americans to go to. So again, I would say take the advantage of that training by calling Brother Harris. And if you don't have his number, like I said, call the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, right here in Washington, D.C. And we will be more than happy to share that information with you. Sister Harris, any more comments you want to make? We got about five more minutes before we'll be going off the station. Anything you want to share with us? And like I said, we look forward to your continuing to participate with us until we reach our objective. But anything you wish to say before with the next 4 minutes?
No, I'm just excited about 2022. I'm just excited about everything that's available. You know, I say let's get this money. You know why Biden put that new stimulus package together? There's a lot of money that's available for minorities. If we go and get our minority certificate, we can get some of these contracts to be able to put some of this internet down and infrastructure and all that kind of stuff. So we just have to put the money together and train people to go after to get that money, and so we can all be fed, I guess.
Okay, and brothers and sisters, and still, I haven't forgot what Brother Harris said about the professional sister, the underwriter. I know what underwriters are, how much qualifications you have to have, first of all, just to become an underwriter. And then after you have these qualifications, very few African-Americans are selected to be underwriters, even with the qualifications. So here's a sister who has been in the business as long as she has, and the information and what she can share. As a matter of fact, hopefully this sister can come out and start her own training academies or what have you. But in the meantime, the company that we felt this may have done the sister wrong, we need to write them letters and let them know that we are opposed, and we are a policy holders who are not happy, and we also clients who may be looking the other way. So let the company know about this. Write them letters. And and another thing, brothers and sisters, by being a part of Black Wall Street collective, if you start having any problems yourself with certain business practices and you don't think it's right, you don't necessarily have to go at your complaints or your grievance alone. Black Belt Wall Street is in it with you, and we can go at it together. And we have used our numbers in the past, and we have gotten in touch with certain businesses and many problems that have been resolved right over the phone, because management realizes they're dealing with not an individual, but a large business clientele, and nobody wished to lose a large business clientele, because you don't know just how big that clientele is. So right. As members of Black Belt Wall Street, we support each other. I think that's just what I'm trying to say. So, brothers and sisters, again, our mics are still open. We still have a couple minutes for anybody who have any comments. If not, we will get ready to close out. Okay. Brother Harris and sister.
I got one more thing.
Go right ahead, Ms. Reed, please.
Oh, I just want to let you guys to know that I have a sports mom talk show. It's called Can We Talk Sports? We're going to be starting our third season sometime in April. So I'm definitely going to be looking for some sponsorships or advertising to be on the show. That's one thing I haven't quite mastered, is how to monetize it, to pay for it. But we've had all kind of guests on the show. We have had some elite players. We interviewed Etheridge James, the Hall of Fame. We interviewed Joy Taylor. We've interviewed Olympians. And so it's a new thing. It's the voices of moms who have raised student athletes. It's to get the information out to our Black people, Black parents. And we're the one that are asking the questions. And so just wanted to put that plug in there. If you know anybody that wanted to be on the show to bring some information to our parents, just let me know.
Okay.
Yeah, Sister Reed, I would definitely love to be on the show. And just one quick tip here, moms are awesome. Moms are the driving force and the reason why a lot of these young men are in the NFL, the NBA, the MLBA, and all these other programs. Moms are always there. But what we need for moms to do is become entrepreneurs and manage the real estate of their sons or daughters so they can get into the financial business, because what winds up happening is their agents wind up telling them the wrong information because no one close to them understands how these things work.
Right. And nobody's coming back and telling us. We're constantly recreating the wheel. That's how I stayed in it. You know, DeSoto had 300 kids in the football program, and you have 40 people that are volunteering. And it's like, why? But then those who make it, they're not coming back and educating the people who are coming behind us so we can make better informed decisions. That was one of the things that kind of drove me into doing. We got to go back and reach back and educate those who are coming.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
But I enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, let the brothers and sisters like I said, and next Wednesday we'll be right back. We invite you to come back. Like I said, continue. Let's keep this conversation going. Until then, this is the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, and saying good night.
Good night.
One would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you had your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin?